Welcome to day 242 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are reading Ezekiel chapters 13, 14, and 15, and this week we're reading from the New American Standard Translation. So beginning at Ezekiel chapter 13, starting at the first verse. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, The Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, The Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord God. So my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in the council of my people, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I am the Lord God. It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying peace when there is no peace. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. So tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall. A flooding rain will come, and you, O hailstones, will fall, and a violent wind will break out. Behold, when the wall has fallen, will you not be asked, Where is the plaster with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be, in my anger, a flooding rain and hailstones to consume it in wrath. So I will tear down the wall which you plastered over with whitewash and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation is laid bare. And when it falls, you will be consumed in its midst, and you will know that I am the Lord. Thus I will spend my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it over with whitewash, and I will say to you, The wall is gone, and its plasterers are gone, along with the prophets of Israel who prophesy to Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, declares the Lord God. Now, you son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are prophesying from their own inspiration. Prophesy against them and say, Thus says the Lord God, Woe to the women who sew magic bands on all wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature to hunt down lives. Will you hunt down the lives of my people, but preserve the lives of others for yourselves? For handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, you have profaned me to my people, to put to death some who should not die, and to keep others alive who should not live, by your lying to my people who listen to lies. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against your magic bands by which you hunt lives there as birds, and I will tear them from your arms. And I will let them go, even those lives whom you hunt as birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people from your hands, and they will no longer be in your hands to be hunted, and you will know that I am the Lord. Because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood when I did not cause him grief, but have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life. Therefore, you women will no longer see false visions or practice divination, and I will deliver my people out of your hand. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Chapter 14. Then some elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. Should I be consulted by them at all? Therefore, speak to them and tell them, Thus says the Lord God, Any man of the house of Israel who sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will be brought to give him an answer in the matter in view of the multitude of his idols, in order to lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, who are estranged from me through all their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, Thus says the Lord God, Repent and turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel, or of the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me for himself, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from among my people, so you will know that I am the Lord. But if the prophet is prevailed upon to speak a word, it is I, the Lord, who have prevailed upon that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. They will bear the punishment of their iniquity, as the iniquity of the inquirer is, so the iniquity of the prophet will be, in order that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me and no longer defile themselves with all their transgressions. Thus they will be my people, and I shall be their God, declares the Lord God. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord God. If I were to cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they depopulated it, and it became desolate, so that no one would pass through it because of the beasts, though these three men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters. They alone would be delivered, but the country would be desolate. Or if I should bring a sword on that country and say, Let the sword pass through the country and cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters, but they alone would be delivered. Or if I should send a plague against that country and pour out my wrath in blood on it to cut off man and beast from it, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my four severe judgments against Jerusalem, sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague, to cut off man and beast from it. Yet, behold, survivors will be left in it who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Behold, they are going to come forth to you, and you will see their conduct and actions. Then you will be comforted for the calamity which I have brought against Jerusalem, for everything which I have brought upon it. Then they will comfort you when you see their conduct and actions, for you will know that I have not done in vain whatever I did to it, declares the Lord God. Chapter 15. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any wood of a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Can wood be taken from it to make anything? Or can men take a peg from it on which to hang any vessel? If it has been put into the fire for fuel, and the fire has consumed both of its ends, and its middle part has been charred, is it then useful for anything? Behold, while it is intact, it is not made into anything. How much less when the fire has consumed it, and it is charred, can it still be made into anything? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so have I given up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I set my face against them. Though they have come out of the fire, yet the fire will consume them. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. Thus I will make the land desolate because they have acted unfaithfully, declares the Lord God. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. For today's devotional, I want to bring your attention to a verse that we found in the 14th chapter of Ezekiel. And it's the place where the Lord said to Ezekiel in verse 3, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. This is the statement that I want to address today. These men have set up their idols in their hearts. Now we know that in the time of Ezekiel the prophet, idol worship was very prevalent in all the nations that surrounded Israel and Judah. And the people of Israel and Judah had become converted, so to speak, to the idolatry or idol worship of the lands around them. And it was because of this sin of turning away from God and starting to worship these false gods that they would make out of their own hands, carving wood, covering them with silver and gold, bowing down to them, and sacrificing sacrifices to these false gods. And all of this type of activity that involved sin of many different types, immorality, sacrifice of their children, and different things like this, that this idolatry was the very reason behind the severe judgment that came upon Israel and Judah and eventually resulted in their being taken captive into these foreign nations. So here, God tells the prophet Ezekiel that these men, and he's referring to the elders of Israel because it's the place in chapter 14, the elders of Israel came to Ezekiel and sat down before him, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. And the Lord is pointing out that they may not be going and bowing down to the wooden statues covered with silver or gold like they did when they were back in Israel, but they have set up idols in their hearts and have put right before their faces the stumbling block of their iniquity. And then God asks the rhetorical question of the prophet Ezekiel, should I be consulted by them at all? Essentially, those men had come to the prophet Ezekiel to inquire of the Lord for them, and yet God knew their hearts and told the prophet, these guys have idols in their hearts, so why should they even ask me for any advice or counsel or word of the Lord? They don't even honor me. They worship idols in their hearts. And I want to bring this to your attention because it's very applicable to us today, this idea of idolatry in the heart or setting up an idol in our heart, this issue of spiritual idolatry. A modern day prophet who lived from essentially 1897 to 1963, a man by the name of A.W. Tozer, who was a great Bible scholar and a tremendous writer and a pastor, wrote a book by the name of The Knowledge of the Holy. And actually, it was a collection of some of his most outstanding sermons and messages related to knowing God. And in that book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he dealt with this issue of spiritual idolatry and idol worship of the heart, so to speak. He made a very profound statement in that book that we should consider. He said, let us beware lest we, in our pride, accept the erroneous notion that idolatry consists only in kneeling before visible objects of adoration, and that civilized people are therefore free from it. And that is a very good point for our modern society. We think oftentimes in our minds when we read the Old Testament and see this sin of idolatry described of people going and worshiping these false idols that were made of wood or stone or whatever material and the people bowing to them, that is idolatry. And yet this statement in Ezekiel that God makes pointing out that the idolatry that he could see in these people's lives had nothing to do with bowing down to a statue. These men have set up their idols in their hearts. And that is something as applicable to our society today as it was in the days of Ezekiel the prophet. And the wisdom that A.W. Tozer gives us is that we need to be careful that we don't think in our prideful spiritual superiority that we don't bow down or kneel in front of some object of adoration, and therefore, as civilized people, we're therefore free from idolatry. Instead, the issue of idolatry or idol worship is all about the heart. John Wesley, great man of God and the founder of the Methodist denomination, said this: there's no possibility of loving God except we keep ourselves from idols. He goes on to say, to God our heart is due, and he will not quit his claim or consent to its being given to any other. He is continually saying to every child of man, "My son, give me thy heart." And to give our heart to any other is plain idolatry. And he goes on to give a definition. He said, "Accordingly, whatever takes our heart from him or shares it with him is an idol." Think about that for a moment. Anything that takes your heart away from God or shares it with God is an idol. Or in other words, John Wesley says, whatever we seek happiness in, independent of God, is an idol. In our society, we see people seeking happiness independent of God every single day. They seek happiness in their careers, and oftentimes, career can be an idol. They seek happiness in financial wealth, and definitely the pursuit of wealth, materialism, wanting to be rich often is an idol in our society. There's nothing wrong with having money, but the pursuit of it as your end all, as the way to get happiness, as the way to feel secure, as the way to feel protected, that is definitely idolatry. Because anytime we're seeking happiness or security in anything that's outside of God, that is idolatry. I have seen people make their families or their children or even their spouse their idol. Their whole life is wrapped up in that family or spouse or children, to where they give all their energy, all their attention, all their hope, all their security. Everything about their life is tied up in those children or that spouse, and it literally has become an idol to them. Whereas if they were ever parted from them, they would die. And there's a point in which something is out of balance or out of order with regard to the Lord, where you have more love and devotion to your children or to your spouse than you do to the Lord, then your heart has been given over to idolatry to some degree. Now, I know that there are many Christians who would object to that statement, but the truth is, God really must be first in our lives. And yes, He will direct us to love our spouses, love and devote ourselves to raising our children in a godly way. But I have seen Christian people step over the line where they go from being obedient to the Lord and loving their family to their family is really first in their minds and their hearts, more than even God, where they won't go worship on Sunday. They'll take their children to some thing that they have devoted themselves to please the children. And you really have to examine your heart about that. God must be first in your life. To God, therefore, alone our heart is due, John Wesley wrote. And he will not quit his claim or consent to its being given to any other. And to give our heart to any other is plain idolatry, according to John Wesley. So we must be very careful and examine our hearts and let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts and make sure we're not sharing our heart with God and an idol. Don't attempt to seek happiness in anything independent of God. The well-known American evangelist Billy Graham addressed this subject of modern-day idolatry when he wrote an article in the Chicago Tribune. He said that although bowing to idols of stone or metal isn't as prevalent in modern culture as it was centuries ago, people today can still find themselves worshiping idols that are much more familiar to us as the idols of money, power, and possessions. He said this, "Take, for example, our preoccupation with money and material possessions. These aren't necessarily wrong, of course. We need them to take care of our loved ones. but both can easily become idols that we slavishly follow and allow to become the most important things in our lives. Where I live in Southern California, one idol that you can see worshipped quite prominently in this area is the pursuit of beauty or physical appearance. And it's fueled by the worship of actresses and actors and models that we see prominently displayed in the media, whether it's in movies or television or in the print media, where beauty, physical beauty, and the appearance of youthful beauty is so worshipped that people will spend thousands and thousands of dollars in an attempt to create a beautiful look for themselves and their physical body, whether it's through purchasing clothing and makeup or whether it is cosmetic surgery that they pay for, all in the attempt to worship at the altar of physical beauty. Regardless of the form that the idol takes in our modern society, it all gets back to the issue of the heart. Is there anything in your life to which you are more devoted than to God? Then that's an area that the Lord's trying to put His finger on in your life and asking you to surrender that to Him and to redirect your devotion to the Lord Himself. So pray about that this week as you go through your week and evaluate. Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your money? Where does your thought life spend the most of its time? And that will give you a clue as to the areas to which you are the most devoted. God is calling us as His children to have a heart without idols. Now, the type of idolatry that we've discussed so far is somewhat obvious, but there are other forms of idolatry that are much more subtle and, in a way, much more powerful. Francis Frangipane is a pastor and very well-known Christian author who wrote a book called Holiness, Truth, and the Presence of God. And I would recommend that book to every single believer who really desires to have a deeper walk with God. In that book, he wrote a chapter called A Heart Without Idols. And he brings to our attention a much more subtle enemy, but a much more common idol that is bowed down to on a daily basis. And it is the god or the idol of self-rule. He says, the resistance in you against God is an idol. It is the most powerful idol in the human heart. Have you ever had a nudging of the Holy Spirit where you know God is nudging you and prompting you to either stop a certain thing that you are doing or, on the other hand, to do a certain thing that you have not yet done or you have left undone? And yet the inward man resists that prompting of the Holy Spirit. Francis Frangipane says that resistance in you against God is an idol, the most powerful idol in the human heart. If you've ever observed a two-year-old who perhaps doesn't have a lot of language yet, but the one word that they have become a master of is the word no, especially when a parent is trying to get that child to do something the child does not want to do. You will hear no repeated over and over as that little child attempts to resist the authority of the parent. Imagine when the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you, when your Heavenly Father is prompting you as His child to do something or to stop doing something, and you have the equivalent response of that little two-year-old when you are, in essence, saying to God, no, when He is saying to do a certain thing or to refrain from doing a certain thing. The resistance in you against God is an idol. You're bowing down to self-rule instead of bowing down to the Most High God. And Frangipani says, it is the most powerful idol in the human heart. Francis Frangipani brings an excellent definition of idolatry to us in his chapter on A Heart Without Idols. He says it this way, an idol is not an occasional sin. It is something that rules us and makes us its slave. For some, fear is an idol. For others, it is lust. For still others, it is rebellion or pride. Whatever challenges Jesus' right to our hearts becomes his enemy, which he will confront. When God tells us in his word to trust him and to tithe and give and be generous, and we instead bow down to the idol of fear of not having enough, then we have violated this calling of God to have the Lord be our all in all and the only one true God in our life. But if we are giving in to a spirit of fear of not having enough finances or not being provided for or not being financially secure, when the God of the whole universe has instructed us as his children to place our trust in him exclusively and to believe him for our provision, then we do have an idol in our hearts. In the book of Exodus, the Lord told the children of Israel these words, "Watch yourself, that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, lest it become a snare in your midst, but rather you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars, for you shall not worship any other god." You know, God is calling us in our generation to do the same thing, to watch ourselves, to make sure we're not coming into agreement or making a covenant with the gods of this world. And the god of fear is so prevalent in our time and in our generation. And the god of lust and the god of appetite. So often we find ourselves bowing down to those idols in our hearts rather than bowing our heart to the Lord. This week, as you go through your week, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, is there anything that's ruling me and making me its slave? Is there anything that is displacing the Lord in my heart? Is there any area where I'm resisting God's instruction and making my own self as God instead of God? Let the Lord speak to you this week and allow him to help you tear down the altar, smash any false idol in your own life, and present to the Lord a heart without idols. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.